Well, this week's show is all about skin. It's fantastic stuff. It protects us from infection, stops us from drying out, and it comes in all sorts of different colours. Well, coming up, we'll be finding out how the different skin colours evolved. But first, Mira St. Thillingham found out what happens when someone has no skin colour at all, a condition called albinism. She spoke to Dr. Lester Davids from the University of Cape Town during the SciFest Africa.
The skin is made up of a number of cells, but two predominant cell types, the melanocytes, which are the cells that produce melanin, which actually color our skin, and also the keratinocytes, which form the upper layers of our skin and are really just there to increase the layers to protect our skin against all sorts of injury. So the melanocytes are probably more important because they are the ones that give us the color that you actually see. So that is the first thing that you see, really. And so we need to look after the melanocytes and the keratinocytes because it is from those, if something goes wrong with those cells, they cause all types of skin cancers.
Why is our skin protective? Why is it important for us to have it?
The skin is the largest organ of the body. It is not only sensitive to touch and to the external environment, it is the first level of defense of our body that actually reaches the external environment. So in that sense, it is obviously very, very important for protection. The problem is that most of our skin, well, a large proportion of our skin is exposed to the elements all the time. And so we need to have an idea of how to look after our skin. Although your skin may be a different color, it doesn't mean that it is much more or much less protected because of that color. In general, the same rules apply, how you protect your skin.
Now, another thing you look into is diseases and disorders that affect our skin. So which of these do you look into?
The one condition that often occurs is a genetic condition called albinism. Because it's genetic, you're born with it. And the problem with it is that melanocytes are actually absent in the skin, or the enzyme that produces the melanin is absent. And so the skin is completely pale because it lacks pigment. And that is obviously a problem because lighter skin is a little bit more susceptible to UVA damage or to sunlight damage. The cells that produce the melanin are also found in our eyes. And if you don't have those cells, your eyes become very sensitive. And so albinos, besides being ostracized in some of our communities in South Africa and in Southern Africa, they also have very sensitive eyes and they need to look after that. The third place that the melanocytes are missing are in the hair. And so they have red or very light brown hair. And that also needs extra protection because they don't have melanin. And so they normally wear headgear or head covering. The other condition, which is non-genetic but can be caused by a variety of factors, including oxidative stress, stressing out, is called vitiligo. And here the melanocytes are predominantly disappearing, and so we get large patches of non-melanized areas of our skin, which are white. And if your skin's a bit dark, that looks very contrasting. And people often think that they have a contagious disease, which is absolutely incorrect. It is just the melanocytes that are not there. The nice thing about vitiligo, the non-genetic condition, is that there is treatment available. And these days, if you see a very good dermatologist, they can recommend treatment, and repigmentation can occur after the treatment or after several bouts of treatment.
What does the treatment involve in order for someone to get their color back?
In vitiligo, they give them a sorolin, which is a photosensitizer, and then they shine UVA light on them. That photosensitizes the skin and also photosensitizes the melanocytes or the stem cells of melanocytes that are left, with the result that those cells divide and they start to repigment. The nice thing is that in hairy areas, the stem cells of melanocytes sit in a niche around the hair follicle, and this treatment, the sorolin plus UVA, stimulates them to start producing melanin. And so these patients, fortunately for them, if they respond, they will start to repigment and actually get their color back.
Now, looking more into albinism, it's a genetic condition, but is it inherited? Is it due to mutations? How does it actually happen, and what genes does it affect?
Albinism comes in a variety of different types. One of the common most ones in Southern Africa is called oculocutaneous albinism. This is a genetic defect in the enzyme called tyrosinase. And tyrosinase is the enzyme that the melanocyte uses to produce melanin. So that enzyme particularly is not working properly, and so no melanin is produced. And these days, with gene therapy on the increase, if there are lots of research happening where they're actually looking at trying to correct that genetic defect, because it is in fact the way that tyrosinase is made inside the cell and where it actually moves to inside the cell that is being blocked. And so you don't get tyrosinase, the enzyme, doing its proper job, and so you get a lack of pigment.
That was Dr. Lester Davids from the University of Cape Town in South Africa explaining to Meera Senthilingam, when they met up recently at the SciFest Africa, what happens to cause albinism, the genetic condition where people cannot develop pigment in their skin, leaving them very open to sun damage.